Tonight, our speaker is a personal brother, Philip Brown, all the way out of Windsor, Ontario, Canada. Topic is Grace Brings Salvation, Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. Okay, Brother Brown, let us hear your message.
I want to thank Brother Brooks and Highland Heights Church for once again inviting me to speak on this call. We're so thankful for the word, for the opportunity to present God's word. I want to get right into it, as Brother Brooks has already said. Our topic for tonight is Grace Brings Salvation. And the text is taken from Titus chapter 2, reading from verses 11 through 14. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version. It says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for a blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works." We're so thankful for the word of God. We're thankful for the grace of God that brings salvation. Now, some people think that grace and love are the same thing. But grace and love are not the same. And the reason for grace and love not being the same, or the difference between grace and love, is the flow. You see, God loves man, and man must love God. So love flows downward, and love flows upward, but not grace. You see, grace only flows downward. God gives grace. God pardons. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved that he gave." He gave grace. He gave his only son to die for us. And so grace and love are different in the flow that happens. Now we want to look tonight quickly at and to highlight and enumerate some things from our text. One of the first things that we want to highlight from our text is that grace, the Bible says, is apparent. Some people may think that grace is a belief, that grace is a feeling. But grace is not a feeling. It is not something that is invisible. You see, grace appeared, the Bible says. Our text tells us this explicitly. The grace of God has appeared. You see, grace came and we could see grace in operation. We could see it operating. We could see it moving around. In Luke chapter 4 and around about verse 16 and following, the Bible makes it clear. It says, "And he," Jesus, "came to Nazareth." And I'm paraphrasing here because of the length of for the time that we have. It says, "He," Jesus, "came to Nazareth." He went back home where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he would go into the synagogue. And when he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, the Bible tells us that they gave him the book of Isaiah to read. And it tells us that he found in the scroll this particular phrase. And I'm reading this part. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he gave back the scroll, and while everyone was looking at him, the Bible says Jesus said unto them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your sight." Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing, right in your very presence. Grace I come to you.
This is Jesus Christ came so that he might die for us. This is the grace of God. God sent him grace to die in our place. And so grace is apparent. Grace can be seen. Grace could be seen. And when we surrender and submit to grace, when we surrender and submit to the grace of God, the Bible says it is expected, therefore, for grace to be seen in us in our lives. Now we'll come back to this shortly. So grace, the text tells us, is apparent. Not only is grace apparent, but the text tells us that grace is universal. You see, grace did not come to a select few people. It did not come to a particular group of people. But the text says, grace appeared bringing salvation for all people. Everyone has an opportunity to receive grace. Everyone has an opportunity to participate in grace. So grace is not only appear, it's not only apparent, but grace is universal. And the next thing that we need to look and recognize from the text is that grace is being apparent, grace being universal. The text says that grace is instructive. Grace is instructive. The text tells us that grace instructs us. What does it instruct us in? Well, it tells us that we are to renounce or we are to leave something. Grace instructs us and teaches us that we need to leave sin. We need to leave worldly passion. We need to leave ungodliness. Why do we need to leave this? Well, when I turn to Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1 and verse number 18, I read where the Bible tells us that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. You see, that's sin. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven. The wrath of God is poured out upon all mankind because of sin. When I turn to Romans chapter 6 in verse number 23, it tells me that the wages of sin is condemnation to die, to be separated eternally from God. The wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God. So therefore, the Bible is telling us, grace is instructing us, that we need to leave sin. We need to leave ungodliness. We need to leave unrighteousness so that we might not face the wrath of God. And therefore then, we get to understand that we can escape the wrath of God. How can we escape the wrath of God? Well, when I turn to Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, it tells me as this: there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are found in Christ Jesus. If we want to escape the wrath of God, if we want to escape the condemnation, we need to be found in Christ. When I turn to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, I read where Paul writes and Paul tells the Galatian brethren, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." You see, when we are baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. And having put on Christ, we are therefore found in Christ. And being found in Christ, we can escape the condemnation of the wrath of God. Friends,
Grace brings salvation. Grace instructs us that we need to leave the world. We need to leave the world and its passions, its passion, its lustful passions. We need to leave ungodly living. And when we leave ungodly living, it is by putting on Christ in baptism. We need to be baptized into Christ. We need to hear his word. You're hearing the word tonight. You need to be baptized into Christ so that you might be able to escape the wrath of God. So grace instructs. Grace instructs us that we need to leave the world. Not only grace instructs us, but our text also tells us that having left the world, grace now instructs us that we need to live a right life. We need to live right. You see, in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1 through 4, here's what the Bible tells us. The Bible makes it clear. What shall we say? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may abound, so that God may continue to give grace? By no means. How can we who have died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, then we too might walk in newness of life. So when we leave the world, when we leave unrighteous living, grace instructs us that we need to live a new life. We need to live in a new way. We need to walk in a new way. And as we walk and we live in this new way, what we are doing is showing grace in our lives. Grace is apparent. Grace can be seen. Grace must be seen in our lives. And so we need to be baptized. And when we are baptized, we need to live that life whereby grace can be seen operating in our lives. In Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2, Paul writes again to the Roman brethren, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, we are to live right. We are to be transformed. We need to change our ways. We need to change our speech. We need to change our attitude. We need to change our action. We need to behave and act in a different way now that we have been buried in Christ, now that we have submitted and surrendered to grace. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and following. Jesus Christ himself made this statement. Grace himself said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a stand and give light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good work and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Grace must be seen in our lives. As we change your way, as we are transformed, grace must be seen. People must be able to see grace operating within us. In 1 Peter 1, at verse 15 and 16, Peter writes to us and Peter says, but as he, God, who calls you, is holy, you also must be holy in your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. You see, grace instructs us
that we need to live a life that is conducive to God and glory. Not only that, in Ephesians the 4th chapter and verse 1, Paul writes these words. Paul says, I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you, I beseech you, I beg you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. You see, we have been called by grace. We have been called by grace, and once we have surrendered and submitted to the conditions of grace, we need to now therefore walk worthy of this calling. And so grace instructs us that we need to leave the world and its pleasures. We need to leave ungodly living. Having left ungodly living, we now therefore need to live a life that is productive to God. We now need to live a life that is worthy. One which he says is adequate. One that he says is godly, upright, self-controlled in this present age. Not only does grace instruct us that we need to leave ungodly living and to live right, but our text tells us that this, we're having done this, we now need to look for our hope. We need to look for the hope that is there. It tells us, our text says, we therefore need to look for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus returns, as we have put on Christ in baptism, as we now start to live this life that is worthy of God, a life that is worthy of grace, we have to now, therefore, as we live this life, as we continue to walk day by day, we are supposed to be walking in a manner that shows that we are looking, we are waiting for the return of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, when Jesus returns, he's not returning as a Savior. He's no longer going to be returning as a Savior. He's going to be returning as the one who is going to hand over the kingdom. He's going to hand us over as part of the kingdom to his Father. He will no longer be our Savior. He will be the one who will say, well done, welcome, enter thou into the joy of our Lord. We are walking now, we're living a life that is, and looking forward to that day when we are welcome into the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. In Romans 8 chapter and verse 18, Paul writes and Paul says, for I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. We are looking forward to that day when we will be able to be in glory with God, living with him forever and ever, having no longer worries about pain, about having disease, about suffering, about sickness, about sadness. We will be living with God the Father, with our great hope, Jesus Christ, who died in our stead, and we will be with them forever and ever. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse number 3, Peter writes and Peter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And in verse 13 of the same 1 Peter chapter 1, he says, therefore, prepare your minds for action and be sober-minded. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus says in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. As we submit to the terms of grace, having surrendered and been baptized into Christ, the Bible says if we hold fast, if we continue to be faithful unto death, we will receive the crown of life. This is what we are looking for. We are hoping, we are looking for this hope, this opportunity of one day hearing well done. Paul writes to the young man Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course, and I have kept the faith. Henceforth, he says, they have laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give me on that day. But he will not only give it to me, but he will give it to all those who remain steadfast. All those who hold fast to his words. My dear friends, we are here hoping for the great opportunity of receiving eternal life. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21. Paul writes to the Philippian brethren, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Grace has brought salvation. All of this together is salvation. Leaving the world and its pleasures. Leaving unrighteousness and ungodliness. Living as God would have us to. And looking forward to that day when we shall rejoice with him in glory. That's salvation. Grace has brought salvation to us. Justification. God is the only one who can give us justification. No man can give us justification. You see, justification means just as if I had never sinned. And only God can make it just as if I had never sinned. My friends, Jesus Christ came to die in our stead. God sent him to die for us. He knew when he came that he was going to die. But he still came. The Hebrews writer says, who for the glory that was set before him? Jesus Christ saw the opportunity to die for us as joy, as glory. My friends, Jesus Christ wants us to be able to hear one day, well done. And grace tells us these words in Matthew 16, 15 through 16. Grace says, you have heard it said of men that baptism is not important. You have heard it said that baptism is only an outward show of an inward grace. But I, Jesus says in Mark chapter 16, 15 through 16, Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You need to put on Christ in baptism, my friends. My friends, I urge you, I beg you, listen to these words from Titus chapter 3, reading from verse 3 onward. Paul writes to the young man Titus and he says, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others, and hating one another. But when the goodness and the loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, will be poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. My brethren, my friends, I urge you tonight to surrender and submit to the terms of grace so that you may receive salvation that grace brought. The Bible says you need to hear the word. You have heard the word tonight. It tells us that you need to believe in the word. Belief is not just a mere mental assent in the heart, but belief is active. It is an action word. It means that we are going to be willing to be obedient to what we have heard and what we claim to believe. And we need to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. We need to repent of our sins, and we need to be baptized into Christ. But when we are baptized into Christ, that's not the end. That's just the end of the beginning. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, we need to therefore stand fast, be irremovable, hold fast to the word, and continue steadfastly in the doctrine of Christ. We need to continue to walk therein, and we need to continue to hold fast to God's word. My friends, I urge you, I beg you, do not let the word depart, because grace has brought salvation to us. If you are hearing these words tonight, why not surrender and submit to the terms and condition of grace? Brother Brooks will now come forward. Thank you.